Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in an inward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look you so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream and Joseph said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I give the cup unto Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Think about that this morning. Here Joseph is pleading his innocence. It is while in the prison, Joseph must have befriended two men, one a butler, the other a baker, and they were put into custody under the watchful eye of the captain of the guard because they had offended Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. There they would remain until Pharaoh decided what he should do with them. And while they were waiting on his decision, both men had a dream, but neither of them understood its meaning. And so they became troubled, going about the prison, sad and depressed. And Joseph noticed that something was not right. So he asked them what was wrong that they looked so worried. And they replied in Genesis 40 and verse 8, and I quote it from the Amplified Bible, "We have dreamed dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." At this point, we can see that they must have shared their dreams with others, and no one could explain to them what their dreams meant. But here's the reason for it. Listen to Joseph. And Joseph replied to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, I pray you." God does not reveal his dreams to just anybody. He reveals it to his servants, and Joseph was his servant. Now, we know that Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus, and we know that he revealed the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. And that is what I and you are meant to do as believers: show the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Note first, Joseph gives them knowledge that the interpretations of their dreams can only be revealed by God. and then tells them to tell him their dreams so he can reveal their interpretation as the Spirit reveals it to him. It is at this point of our story that we see Joseph the dreamer become Joseph the interpreter of dreams. It would have been while in prison that both the butler and the baker would have observed the character of Joseph, his everyday conduct, how he lived, the words that came out of his mouth, the love he had for others by observing his kindness. And the moment Joseph said that interpretations belong to God and for them to share their dreams with him, hope began to fill their soul. Just as when a lost sinner hears the gospel of Christ, thinking all is lost and that no one cares, and then God sends them a Joseph their way to tell them that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the butler begins to tell Joseph his dream. And while Joseph listens to the butler, the Spirit of God reveals the meaning of the dream to Joseph. And the news is good news, just like the gospel. When the angel came and visited the shepherds, what did he bring? He brought good news. Here, Joseph brings good news. This good news brought hope to a lost soul. He tells the butler, who was cast into prison because he offended Pharaoh, that he was going to be restored to his position as chief butler. And this would happen within 3 days. And 3 days later, it was Pharaoh's birthday. In Genesis 40 and 21 of the chapter, we can read this. And again, I read from an amplified version. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership, and the butler gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Every word that Joseph predicted was fulfilled to the very letter. The butler was restored to his position, and it all happened within 3 days. But after Joseph gives the butler the interpretation of his dream, he makes a request. He makes a request. And listen to what the King James says and tells us. Here's what he says. Think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. Now listen to what the Modern English Bible by Farrah Fenton says in verses 14 and 15. And it reads like this. Then remember me, because I was kind to you. Do me therefore a kindness, and remind Pharaoh of me, and cause him to bring me out of this house. For my treachery, I was dragged from the country of the Hebrews. And also here, I have done no crime that I should be put in a dungeon. Sometimes, brothers and sisters in life, things are not always fair. Things are not always done justly. Things are never done the way we would like it. But God has a plan. Just like he had a plan for Joseph's life, he had his ups, he had his downs. He was humiliated, so he was. He was cast into prison. He was accused of rape. He was resented by his brethren. But the Word of God tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. And what we must remember is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says that he would be with us even until the end of the world. We must keep these things hidden in our heart that God is with his people. Here Joseph makes a simple request to the butler that when he is restored to his position of chief cupbearer, to mention him before Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh may judge his case as he is an innocent man and release him from his prison house. But as soon as the butler gets restored back to his position, Joseph is forgotten about. And there are times that when we, brothers and sisters, are in trouble, we make vows unto God. And when he works it out for us, we forget all about the vow, but God holds us to it. The chief butler's dream has more meaning to it than just being restored to serve Pharaoh. It is a picture of the redemptive work of Christ in his dream. He saw a grapevine when what is a symbol of Christ. And in John 15 and 5, Jesus says, I am the vine. And it is the vine that produces the branches, that produces the grapes. And in his dream, the butler saw himself squeeze the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, which is a picture of Christ's suffering and shedding of his precious blood. Let us think about what Isaiah said this morning when he said in Isaiah 53 and 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is why we come to this table, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it just one day a week we can remember? No, we can remember Christ every day because he says, do this as often. We can do it every day. We can remember the price that the Lord paid for us. The butler is a type of the sinner restored to God through Christ's blood, not by his own works, but by the work of Christ, which was and is a finished work. Whereas the baker, in the other hand, is a type of the sinner who has a mindset that his works are good enough, only to discover when it is too late that their end is death. So how come Joseph was in Egypt? It is because his brother sold him. Was it because the Ishmaelites took him? No. God raised Joseph up. You see, sometimes we question God and we say, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But God allows things in your life to develop you, to make you. He takes you down to the potter's house. He puts you on the wheel. Remember your clay. And what does he do? He puts you on the wheel. He melts you. He molds you. He pours his spirit on you. And he develops you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God raised up Joseph, and God may raise up you. He was to lead Israel into Egypt, because Israel was not living as God intended them to live, as God's chosen people. And because of this, the family of Jacob was beginning to lose godly identity. They were not only living among the Canaanites, the family was beginning to emerge into worldliness in their own environment. So God sent Joseph ahead to prepare the way so that Israel and his family could be saved. And although the butler had forgotten Joseph, God didn't. For 2 years later, Pharaoh himself had a dream. So he called for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt, and none of them could tell him the meaning of the dream. Why could they not tell him? He told them other dreams before. They told him about other things before. But why could they not tell him about this dream? Because this dream was a God given dream, and only the servant of the Lord was able to give its meaning. No one knew what the dreams meant. He told them that he saw 7 fat cows grazing in the marsh grass, and then he saw 7 more cows after them, but they were thin, and they both stood at the riverbank. Then he awakened, and then he fell back to sleep and had a second dream, where he sees 7 heads of grain, plump and good. And then he saw 7 thin heads swallow up the 7 plump that were well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh awakened and realized that it was a dream. Nevertheless, he was troubled, especially when one was able to give him the meaning of his dream. When no one was able to give him the meaning of his dream. That was until the Spirit of God brought to the memory of the butler the time in the prison. 2 years Joseph waited. He made a request to the butler, and the butler remembered him 2 years later. Maybe he thought he could impress Pharaoh Listen, I know a man. I can get the right guy. I know a guy who can tell you the interpretation of your dream. You may say this morning, but listen, I've been in churches. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've went through this. I went through that. Listen, it was your making. It develops you. It helps you to grow. I've been there. I've went through that. I've experienced that. I know where I'm at, but I kept my eyes on the right person. Oh, but the church roamed me. So what? Did Jesus roam you? Then why take your eyes off him? Why take your eyes off him? There was a young man named Joseph who could interpret dreams. After the butler gives his account of what happened in the prison, Pharaoh sends for Joseph. And Joseph is brought into the presence of Pharaoh. Now hear what the scripture says as to how Joseph presented himself before the Egyptian king. And here's how it reads from the Amplified Bible in Genesis 41, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But Joseph first shaved himself, changed his clothes, and made himself presentable. Then he came into Pharaoh's presence. He presented himself. There is a way that the believer presents himself before the Lord. We can see the types of Joseph's life that resemble that of Christ. The scriptures tells us that God was with Joseph when he was betrayed. And we can see from scripture that God was with Jesus in his betrayal. He was with Joseph when he was sold by his brothers. He was with Jesus when he was sold by his friend. He was with Joseph when Potiphar's wife falsely had him accused and charged with rape. He was with Jesus when they brought their false witnesses. God is with Joseph and was with Joseph in his sufferings, in his affliction. And God is with you and he is with me. Joseph was about to live his God-given dream. From the prison to being the second in charge in all of Egypt, only next to Pharaoh. This is the beginning of Joseph's exaltation as we see God putting his plan into place for the salvation of Israel. You may be in a place where you're not happy with, where you're not content, but if God has put you in that place, there is a reason and there is a purpose, and it is for the glory of God. It is for the glory of God. Now that Joseph stands before Pharaoh, Pharaoh tells Joseph, I hear that you can understand dreams to interpret. And once again, it is in Joseph's answer that we can see his humility as that of Christ. He says to Pharaoh in Genesis 41 and verse 16, it is not in me. I like that answer. I like that answer for the simple reason is this. Joseph is not saying, I'm the man, I can do this. He says, it is not in me. But then he goes on to say, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He predicted that God would give him an answer, and an answer of peace. From Genesis 41, verse 17 to 24, Pharaoh tells Joseph his dreams. And in verse 25, Joseph tells Pharaoh that his dreams are one. Or in other words, they both have the same meaning. The seven fat cows and the seven plump heads of corn meant that for the next 7 years, that Egypt would have plenty. And that the seven thin cows and the seven thin heads of grain meant that there would be 7 years of famine. Here God warns Pharaoh in advance to put his house in order and to prepare for what is coming. And it can be said that for many years that the church has had its plenty and now it is in famine, where those who say that they are called to preach are feeding us with their own words and not with the words of God. believers dying spiritually for lack of truth, hearts going cold, Christians compromising with the world and compromising with the congregation so that they won't leave the church. It is time for preachers, pastors, elders, and the people in the church to take their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone may say that believers in Christ don't need to repent. Well, let Jesus answer that for you. In Revelations 3 and 19, Jesus is speaking to the church of Laodicea, which many believe is the last church age in which we now live. And just as God gave warning to Pharaoh through Joseph, so our greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives warning to us, his church. And here's what he says: as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be silent, therefore, and repent. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the church. He tells us of his love for us, and if we love him, we will turn from our sin by taking heed to his word. When Joseph gave Pharaoh the interpretation to his dream, Pharaoh obeyed his word, and by doing so, he helped save his people from the wrath of the famine which God sent and used to reunite Joseph with family. Something else we should take note of: Joseph gives Pharaoh the interpretation of his dream, but Joseph goes on to counsel him as to how to prepare for what was coming, and Pharaoh took note of this. You see, brothers and sisters, when God's Spirit is with you, when God's Spirit is on you, and you are given godly advice, people will take note. People will take note. Joseph did not need to tell Pharaoh that the Spirit of God was in him or that the Spirit of God was working through him. This was something that Pharaoh witnessed for himself. Listen to Genesis 41 and 39. Again, the Amplified Bible I use. And here's what it says: and Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as your God has showed you all this, there is nobody as intelligent and wise as you are. Think about that. Where did it come from? Where did his wisdom come from? Where did his understanding come from? Oh, he sat up all night writing. He sat up all night praying. It came from God. God gave this young man this wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord was on him. And brothers and sisters, when you serve Christ, the Spirit of the Lord will be on you. The counsel that Joseph gave to Pharaoh was to seek out a shrewd man, a man that had or was showing good judgment, one who was wise and intelligent. Whether Joseph realized it or not, he was describing himself to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh saw this. These qualities in Joseph, he witnessed. And Joseph, as far as he was concerned, Joseph was the right man for the job. God knows best. God knows best. But for him to get to his position of power, he had to suffer many things. And for us as Christians, we may suffer many things for the kingdom of God. And for us to enter, we need men like Paul and Barnabas in today's church, men who will strengthen the hand of others. And this is what they did at Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch. Listen to how the Amplified Bible puts it in Acts 14, 22. It says this: establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not an easy task, but God expects us to be faithful. Don't think for 1 minute that this world loves you. Jesus said in John 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of this world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world doesn't like light, because light exposes its sin. And Jesus is the light of the world. Joseph was hated by the world. His brothers were worldly by the way that they lived. But Joseph was different. He was his father's favored, and his walk was different because he was chosen by God to bring salvation to Israel. Just as the church is chosen to bring the message of salvation to the world. And now that Joseph was prime minister or governor, the dream that he had in his youth was partly fulfilled. And the rest of its completion would take place sometime during the 7 years of famine, when Jacob, his father, would send his brethren down into Egypt to buy food. It is said that Joseph was around 30 years of age when he began to serve Pharaoh as governor of Egypt. The same age that the Lord Jesus began preaching the gospel of the kingdom. After Joseph's promotion, Pharaoh changed his name to Sapna-Panea. That is said to mean God speaks and lives. What he was saying is this: God speaks and God lives through that man. Can the world say that of you, brother? Can the world say that of me? God lives and God speaks through you. That's why, and I've mentioned it many times, testimony is very, very important. Very, very important. Listen to what Genesis 41 says. God has given Joseph a son in his captivity. He gives him two sons. But one of them is called Manasseh. And here's what it means. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. God will make you forget your trials, your temptations, your heartache, your pain, when Jesus returns. The word forget here is the Hebrew word nasa. It is a verb meaning to forget. It means not to call to mind or not to let something dominate one's thinking. It is used of God's forgetting and forgiving, not choosing to count sin against a person. Joseph's thoughts must have dominated his life through what he went through, all the trouble that had come into his life, and by the things his brothers did to him while he was in his father's house. It was through the birth of Manasseh that God would replace his pain with joy. Then Joseph had a second son. He called him Ephraim. Listen to what the James Moffat translation puts this in 41 and 52. The second he called Ephraim, which means fruitful. For God hath made me fruitful in the land of my misfortunes. God can make you fruitful where he plants you. And that's why, brothers and sisters, let God plant you where he wants to plant you. Because where he plants you, you will grow. Where he plants you, you will bring forth fruit. And where he plants you, his name will be glorified and his kingdom will be extended. I'm coming to a close. His descendants would become known as the tribe of Ephraim. And in the future, Ephraim would be known as the northern kingdom of Israel, which we know better as the 10 lost tribes. It was after Joseph's sons were born that the 7 years of plenty came to their end and famine set in to all the lands round about Egypt. And so the people of those nations came to Egypt to buy grain. And so Joseph opened the storehouses and sold the grain to the people. The famine was so severe in the land of Canaan that Joseph learned that there was grain, or Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt. So Jacob sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy grain. And this is the beginning of the second part of Joseph's dream being fulfilled. Remember, the first part was fulfilled when he was made governor of Egypt, where in the dream he saw himself stand upright, and now the dream was about to come to pass. In Genesis 42 and 6 from the King James we read, "And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth." God's word was being fulfilled. What was predicted was coming to pass. What he witnessed in his dream, like the butler and the baker, was coming to pass. Here we see the fulfilling of Joseph's dream of Genesis 37, roughly 22 years later, of which 13 of them was spent in prison. It is clear to see for all who will read the story of Joseph that he was a hard-working young man from his youth up. First, he worked with his brothers, keeping his father's flock, when he is made manager of Potiphar's house, and then goes on to run the prison he is placed in for the next 13 years, and makes life easy for the warden. But he reaches the climax of his dream when Pharaoh makes him governor over the land of Egypt, where all who wanted to buy grain would have to come to Joseph. Listen, all who want salvation have to come to Christ. All who want to enter the kingdom of God has to come to Christ. Listen, like Joseph, if you have a dream, a vision, or a word from God, God will fulfill it as he said. Just keep believing as you go through life, and keep in mind that there are bumps on the road, some bigger than others, but God is faithful and he keeps his word to his people. These brothers lived possibly 15 to 20 years with guilt of deceiving their father. And in their mind, the life of their brother. And in Genesis 42, 1 to 38, we see them being tested by Joseph. Their brother whom they thought was dead. And although they did not recognize him as their brother, he recognized them, but acted as though he was a stranger to them, and said hard things to them by making out that they were spies in the land. This Joseph did to keep his identity concealed until the time was right. But until then, Joseph began to play with their minds, causing them to fear for their freedom, if not their lives. They tried to reason with Joseph that they have come to Egypt for food for their father and their families. Then Joseph speaks to them that if they really were honest men, that they were to take the food back to their father and families so that they would not starve, but under one condition, so that they would return. That one of their brothers would remain behind in prison, and that they would return with their younger brother. That would prove that they were telling the truth. To this all the brothers agreed. But as they stood in the presence of Joseph, they were unaware that he understood what they were saying, one to the other. For Joseph used an interpreter to speak to his brothers to hide his identity. But in Genesis 42 and 21, reading from the New Living Translation, we read, "Speaking among themselves, they said clearly, 'We are being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we are in this trouble.'" You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, when things come our way, we start saying, "It's for this reason. It's for that reason. It's for this purpose. It's for that purpose." They couldn't see that it was for the glory of God. They couldn't see that Joseph was going to be a savior to them. And brothers and sisters, the world can't see. That's why there are many reasons that they turn around and worship other gods and go to other religions. They can't see that our greater Joseph is the solution to their salvation, the Savior of the world. So he sends them away and commands that their sacks be filled with corn and that their money be returned. And now that they were making the journey back home, how were they going to explain to their father that Simeon is in prison and the governor of Egypt wants them to return with his youngest son and their youngest brother? How was this going to happen? Is it possible that when making their way back home, that they argued one with the other, blaming one another as to how things would turn out? And when they had finished blaming one another, they began to blame God. Listen to what they said, and with this I'll finish. What is this that God hath done to us? Why has God allowed this? Why has God allowed this? Would the worship team come forth, please? Listen, God allows things, but if you trust God, God works it out. But things happen to me, things happen to me. I went through periods through church leaders, church people, but I kept my eyes on the right person. And that's why I'm here today. It could have been easy to walk away, but I always say, Jesus never wronged me. I've heard many church people tell me many stories over the years. And it always comes down to me like this. Did Jesus hurt you? Did Jesus betray you? Did Jesus turn his back on you? No. Man did, but he didn't. And that's why you keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus. God bless.